Amen. Well, we've talked about judgment. Judgment of the unrighteous. Amen. But, you know, there is another judgment. And I was going to quit, but I remembered, you know, we're going to be under judgment too. Maybe not the same kind of judgment. Maybe not the judgment that sends a nation or sends a man to hell, but we are going to come under the judgment of Jesus Christ as his people, as his church. Now, it brings me to Ezekiel, the 9th chapter, which is a very interesting chapter. It is hard to talk about the 9th chapter without talking about the 8th chapter. But I don't have time to talk about the 8th chapter because it is too full. It is a revealing of things that are happening among God's people. It's bringing, exposing them. So let us assume that we've already passed this point, that the abominations have been revealed, and now the judgment, shall we say, will take place. So let us start in chapter 9. And he cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. Now this city is the city of God, of course. This is Jerusalem. All right, there's going to be some separation that's going to be made here. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate. Now, you know, six is the number of man. So some of this judgment is going to be coming at the hand of man. I'm not sure in just what form, but six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north. Now, you know, when something comes from the north, it's bringing trouble. Amen. And every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. So we're looking at something serious here. I have to believe that this is a spiritual language, okay, bringing a spiritual death even with it. And one man among them clothed in linen. So we have also a seventh. So here we have the hand of God, a move of God in the seventh angel, or whatever you want to call this one, clothed in linen with a writer's inkhorn by his side. So the inkhorn is going to be marking, all right? And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. So we know the brazen altar speaks of judgment. Brass is always symbolic of judgment. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the church, from the cherub, I'm sorry, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen. In other words, the call is first going to number seven, the one that's moving by the hand of God, okay? The man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, amen, God's people, the church, and set a mark on the foreheads. The foreheads are what? They speak of the mind, amen? The key to the soul, that which controls the will, the emotions, the desires, amen? On the foreheads of the men, and what is the qualification for being marked? It is those that sigh and cry for the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Now, we sigh and we cry for the abominations that are going on among the people of the world. But here what we're talking about is those who are really going to be marked are those who are sighing and crying over the abominations that are taking place in the people of God, among the church, in not only the outer court, but in the holy place people. All right. And to the others. So these are the ones that are going to be marked now. Those who sigh and cry. Amen. Do you qualify? Do you sigh and cry? Are you grieved over what happens? Amen. You know, somehow I have to believe that in spite of his weakness, in spite of his bad decisions, that Lot somehow must have grieved, sighed and cried over what was happening in Sodom. It says his soul was vexed. So I believe that means the same thing, all right? And to the others, all right, now to the other six, he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly, old and young. I hope this is spiritual language as well. Slay utterly, old and young, both maids and little children and women. Brethren, little children are being included here too. Little children have a soul, and little children at some point have an accountability before God when they know right from wrong. All right, so we're including the little children and the women, but come not near to any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So the mark, we're talking about being sealed. We're being sealed by the hand of God. We're being sealed by the ink from a writer's inkhorn, which means what? The sealing process is the word of God. That's what the writer's inkhorn means. So as you listen, as you read the word of God, it is affecting you. You're either accepting it, if you're accepting it, and putting it into your life, into your walk, changing your way of thinking, changing your emotions, changing everything that controls your soul, allowing it to change. Amen. Then the writer's inkhorn, the word of God, is having its effect. You are being sealed. Amen. And it says, begin at my sanctuary. So where are we beginning with this judgment? We're beginning at the house of God. And it says, then they began at the ancient men. Now, this word ancient doesn't mean 300 years old. What it means is simply the elders, the leadership of the church. Amen. The fathers, those who should know, those who should be the ones who oversee the house of God. Amen. Begin. The judgment is to begin with us, brethren, which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. Amen. I think I'm going to move along from this place now. And I want to give another witness in the New Testament from Brother Peter. So let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 4, and we will go to verse 17. It says, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? So, brethren, we are not going to miss the examination hand of God. we of the house of God. Judgment must first begin. So if you're waiting for it to begin in the world, if you haven't seen any judgment in the house of God, that's where you're going to have to see some things happening first. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 10. I found a very interesting verse here. And it's going to be in verse 12 when we can find it here. Okay, Isaiah 10:12. Let me go back. Let me go back maybe to 10 so we get a little context. As my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed the whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem. Now we're talking about God's people, amen? We're talking about the holy place people and the whole and the outer court. Let me say that again. That when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. So again, the reference of judgment first among God's people, and then he's going out to take care of Assyria and the outer kingdoms. Let us look again in Luke chapter 10, verse 12, another 10:12. These are long chapters in Luke here. I think I'll go back a little bit so you get the context. This is where Jesus is sending out the 70. Amen. In fact, that was something we prayed about today, that we would have the same authority that he gave the 70. Why don't I just go ahead and read this? Verse 2, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. All right, now you know 70, the number 70 speaks of the number of eldership. So this is not just fivefold ministry. This is elders, men. You know, would to God that every man were an elder in his own house and in the house of God. All right. So 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, if you're looking for something to pray for, this is what he said to pray for. Okay? Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And unto whatever house ye enters, first say, peace to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. In other words, that's not the place to stay. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and unto whatever city, amen, ye enter, and they receive you, eat read such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. All right, now here's the end time message. The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. I'm preaching the kingdom. Amen. Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Okay. But whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out and into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this. Now, whether you hear us or not, whether you receive it or not, okay? Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So whether you receive it or not, the kingdom is still going to come. Amen? Now, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than that city. So, judgment, the judgment of Sodom, we talked about it, but he's also talking about the judgment of the city now that hears the message of the kingdom of God. They're going to come under judgment, and he said Sodom is going to get an easier call than you are. Now, I can't imagine what an easier call would come to Sodom. And I have a hard time imagining how it will be worse for those that have rejected the message of the kingdom. All right, moving along, I want to go to Romans, the 14th chapter. And we'll come to verse 10, I believe it is. All right, this is about judging, okay? But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Here we go. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now let me ask you, what do you believe this is? What does this involve? The judgment, it says... Now, come on, Romans is not being written to the unbelievers. The book of Romans is written to the church. And to the church, it says, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, is that the same kind of judgment that the nations and the unrighteous are going to be judged by? What does that mean? If we go over into Revelation, we find that if your name is in the book, okay, if your name is in the book, you're judged by your deeds. If your name is not in the book, the judgment is simple. You're going into the abyss. All right, so we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Sins forgiven, okay, you're still going to give an account to God of what you've done with your life and what you've done since your sins have been forgiven. Let me take us now to 2 Corinthians, another reference to the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 5. And we come to verse 10, but I'll start with verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Accepted of him means well pleasing to him. Okay? To who? Who would this be? To Christ. Okay? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Now that means while we're here living, eating, breathing, eating, sleeping, drinking, in this life, okay, that every man may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're talking about the church, brethren. We're talking about believers. Brethren, it is going to make a difference in shall we say, in heaven. It is going to make a difference what we have done, how we have carried out our life since we have received the blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of all our sins. It is how we live, what we have done, is going to make a difference. All right, so let's take it back to 1 Corinthians and maybe a little more detail of what this is all about. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hold on, I gotta delete some things here. All right. Chapter 3, verse 12. Let me turn the other page here. Let me go back to verse 9, I guess. No, we'll go back even further. We'll go back to 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man, listen to this now, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now I don't believe that we can comprehend what this really means. What kind of reward? Are we going to be given a tangible something, a necklace of gold or, you know, no. The reward, brethren, I believe, now you can disagree with me, I don't care. The reward is going to be who you are. What kind of... We're going to be seen for what we are, brethren. Yeah, I'll go back to that thief on the cross. Let's assume that he gained no further than got into the door. What kind of reward did the man have? None. He'll be easy to recognize. He's like a little baby. There's no maturity in him. You'll know who he is. He'll be very happy to be in the kingdom of God rather than hell, but he could be more than that. All right? So let me go on. According to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry and God's building. Well, what does that mean, we are God's husbandry? Amen. We're his field. We're his Where the garden where he plants the crops, the fruit. Amen. How much fruit you bear is going to be manifest to all. They're going to see fruit on you. No, not something you can pick off, but the nature of Jesus Christ is going to be manifest. Some people are going to have such a brilliant glory nature of Jesus Christ. Remember that angel that came to John and started giving him the word? That angel was so bright that John wanted to fall down and worship that angel. In other words, that angel looked like Christ. And the angel said, no, not me. No. So the power of that angel when he met John, another one, he met another one at another time. Powerful light, glory, nature of Christ all over that angel. Amen. But he said, I'm not an angel. I'm one of the saints. I came through the same way you guys do. What do you want to look like? You want to look like that angel? Or do you want to look like just some little wispy little thing that just barely made it in? Now, tell me I'm wrong, what I'm reading here. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. All right? So we've got the basics. You're not going to change the foundation. Amen? There's nothing different there. The cornerstone, it's the cornerstone. Now, what happens from here on is what you put on it. For listen to this. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, let me stop right there. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Gold, silver, precious stone. This is spiritual language. Gold. What is gold? The nature of God. What is silver? Redemption. Amen. Precious stones. Amen. All right. Now, wood, hay, stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble is not gold or silver or precious stones. In other words, what are you building? What are you building upon the foundation of your life that you have? What are you building upon the foundation of your ministry in your house, in your family, to your neighbors, to those that your extended family? What are you building? Wood, hay, and stubble. I'll have to tell you something to my shame. I don't know. This must have been 35, 40 years ago. I got involved in a little hobby. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong. It wasn't sinful. But it was taking up a lot of my time. And oh, I was having a good time with it. I was really enjoying my little hobby, I'll call it. And one day the Holy Spirit stirred my wife, and she came to me with that finger. You know that finger? You ever see that finger? And she came and she said to me, "Husband, wood, hay, and stubble, and that's not what God called you to." Well, I didn't argue. I knew she was right. And you know what? I got rid of it. Now, I can't say, even to this day, 24/7, I'm building gold and silver. I had a friend up in Newcomb. His name was Mike. I lived up there a couple years. This goes back to, oh my goodness, 40, 45 years ago. Brother Mike, he was a good man of God. I mean, just a solid man. Became a good friend of mine. And after we left Newcomb, went down into the city, down into the Schenectady area to take on the ministry that God had called us to down there. And Mike called me up on the phone one day, and we got talking about what had been happening back up in Newcomb. And he says, Brother Mark, he said, he was a member of the Lions Club. Anybody know what the Lions Club is? They help people. They help people. They help the issue of blindness. They help getting people to see better and everything. It's some kind of a club that men get together and they have a weekly get together, and I don't know, a lot of fellowship, really, mostly people of the world. They're not doing anything bad. They're doing good for the world. He said, I quit the Lions Club. I said, oh, you did? He says, I quit the fire department. Now, I don't know what you have in Nigeria for fire departments, but in the small town, in the big cities, they're hired firemen. They're all on the payroll. But in the small towns, you're a volunteer. If the siren goes off, if somebody calls in a fire, then you're a volunteer and you run down to the fire hall and you get the truck out and you go to the place of the fire and you with other guys you try to put. He says, I quit the fire department. I said, why'd you do that, Mike? He says, Brother Mark, it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. I'm quitting. I'm quitting everything that is not the kingdom of God. You know what? What was it? Maybe 15 years ago, Brother Mike died. He got a cancer somewhere in his ear, and the cancer took him, and he went home to be with the Lord. And you know what? Every time I think of Mike, I think, you know what? Mike got rid of all the wood, hay, and stubble in his life. And he wanted to focus only on the things of the kingdom of God. And you know what? I think he built a lot of silver and gold and precious stones. And every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Well, amen. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, let me give you my carnal imagination of this scene. I admit it's kind of carnal, but I don't have a better one, okay? Here's the day of judgment of the people of God. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. All right, there he is sitting on his judgment seat, and we're coming before him. We've got a big long line. One at a time we come before him. Maybe this isn't the way it's going to happen, okay? But in my mind, I have to see something. So it's my turn to come before his throne. And he says, well, Mark, what have you got to show for yourself? And I hold out my hand, and in my hand, I show him the things I've done. And he says, well, okay, son, let's put the fire to that and see how it holds up. And he just puts a massive fire on that thing that I'm holding in my hand, and whoosh, it all goes up in flame. There's nothing left there. Well, I'm sorry, son, but you've been working a lot of things that have nothing to do with my kingdom. But you're going to make it in because the blood of my blood is upon you. You've asked for forgiveness. You've asked for redemption. You've trusted me. You're going to get in, but you've got nothing to go in with you. Hello? Now, maybe it isn't going to be that way, okay? I'm sure it's a far more spiritual picture than what I just said. It's not going to be something you're holding in your hand. It's going to be you. It's going to be... But I can't envision that. I can't make a natural picture of how that's going to work. Who are you? Are you gold and silver? Are you made of wood? Nevertheless, if it's wood and stubble and hay, you're going to get in. That's it. That's it. I want to go back to Genesis. Maybe it was all flesh. Maybe we ought to deal with that word flesh. Maybe my works were all works of flesh. Now, if he called me to works of flesh, okay, that's what I'm called to. But if I wasn't, if I did something just because I thought it would be a good idea, it might be flesh. Now, the Lord said to Noah, back here in Genesis 6, I'll start in verse 11. It says here, the earth also was corrupt before God. Boy, that sounds a lot like the earth we're living in today. And the earth was filled with violence. Oh, there's just violence going on every day. Every kind of violence you can think of. And God looked upon the earth. How many of you believe God knows what's going on? God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. See, there's two different words that are interesting here. One word is violence. That's the lowly, fleshly, whatever. And the other word is corrupt. Now, that word corrupt, I think, applies to the so-called higher ranking leadership, what have you, corrupt. Totally corrupt, totally lies. Everything they do is meant for deception, and that's corrupt. Corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. My goodness, brethren, we need to guard the flesh. Something's after our flesh. Amen. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So earth, carnal, flesh, and in the first judgment that God brought, his goal was to bring an end to all flesh. Now, we know of only one man prior to that who during his natural life came to the end of all flesh. Who was he? That was Brother Enoch. He finally came to where There was nothing left of flesh. He was all in the realm of the spirit, and he just had to cross on over. Took the flesh, whatever it was with him, he just disappeared. Went on over and got his new body, Enoch. All right, the end of all flesh. And in Matthew 24, and you've heard these passages read time and time and time again, but put up with me, brethren, if you would, please. Matthew 24, verse 37. Well, I'll come to 36 first. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. You know, this is not just a gradual thing that's going to slowly creep in. Amen. Let me get a mute here. There is a specific day and a specific hour that something is going to happen. I mean, it will come so clearly that you will not have a doubt that we have crossed over into a particular time. We're seeing things happen now that seem to be a release of demons from the pit. However, I still have to believe that there is a day and an hour that will be so clear. Somewhere it says a day and an what is it over in Revelation? A year, a month, a day and an hour. Is that the way it is? Something so clear. All right, now let's go on. But as the day of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. You can find that same verse in Luke 17. I'll go over it, Luke 17, just so that you know we have another witness, exactly, almost word for word, Luke 17, 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. So it's going to be more than one day. It's going to last for a while. The days of the Son of Man. These days will be called the days of the Son of Man. Days of Christ we're talking about. A time that he is going to bring retribution upon all the earth. A correction. I mean, these people that meet in Davao, Switzerland, this World Economic Council, they talk about a reset. They want to reset the thinking. They want to reset all our values. I tell you what, there's going to be a reset, but not the one they're thinking about. It's not going to go their way. Oh, yes, there's going to be a reset, all right. Yes, somebody put it here, and the four angels were loosed that were prepared. Well, I have to read it. It's on the chat here. Give me a minute, and I'll read it. It disappeared. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year to slay the third part of men. Revelation 9:15, King James Bible. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. So we're talking about a day of judgment, though, for the believers. All right. Now, let me take you a little bit to the Old Testament. So shall it be. Amen. So shall it be. Amen. Now, Malachi. Malachi. The last of the Old Testament. Malachi is a book that talks about the judgment of the sons of God. In fact, Malachi calls them sons of Levi. So let us read from chapter 3. And I can't just start off. I have to read the first verse first. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Now you're getting an impression of what we're talking about, aren't you? All right. In the natural realm, that messenger was Elijah. Now, today, he said, I will send my messenger. Isn't the messenger the message that we are hearing now? Are we not hearing that message? All right. And the Lord whom ye seek shall come suddenly to his temple. This is not an appearance that the world is going to see. This is a visitation that we are going to see. And brethren, we are going to be given that word of authority that we are so crying for today. It's going to come. Amen. Madeline, it's going to come. That word of authority. We're going to get it. Amen. Mike, we're going to get it. Amen. It's coming. A visitation. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But, oh, that word but. It sounds like nevertheless. On the other hand, but, what's the next verse say? But who may abide the day of his coming? How are we going to deal with it, brethren? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like refiner's fire. Now we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ, are we not? Did he not say he was going to bring fire? And if everything you are and everything you've done has been wood, hay, and stubble, poof! Who shall abide when he appeareth? For he is like refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Let's hope there's some silver among that. Amen. Come on, he's even going to take the silver and heat it up. He's going to refine it so that it's pure silver. No flesh, no flesh in this. Come on. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. Well, in my understanding, the term sons of Levi is equivalent to sons of God. What was Levi's calling? Levi, the whole tribe, was called to ministry. Priesthood, ministry to the house, ministry to the temple, ministry to the people, to purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And let's finish off over into the fourth chapter of Malachi. And we're still talking about that fire, aren't we? For behold, the day cometh that shall burn like an oven. You know, if you're in an atmosphere that's that hot, you're going to be very uncomfortable. It's going to burn like an oven. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. What happens to stubble? Hay, wood, and stubble. Stubble, one of the definitions of stubble is pride. Have you got that all burned out yet? Pride. Burned as stubble. And the day cometh that shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye shall leave them neither root nor branch. Unrighteousness, flesh, cleaned out, gone. You'd not be fit to be a judge in the kingdom of God with pride and flesh and all that. You'd be making the wrong decisions. Amen? But unto you that fear my name shall the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. You know what? We need that power of healing, don't we? Howard, don't we need that power of healing for these young ones, these young innocent ones? They didn't do that to themselves. Who did sin? This one or his parents? No, neither one. Little babies that are born with problems, they didn't sin. That wasn't them. Amen. With healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked. Oh yes. Where they used to have their thrones and their lordship and their influence and their power. Where they used to have their philosophies that they were teaching the young people. Where they used to spread their wickedness, amen, you shall tread it down. It'll be under your feet. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this, saith the Lord. Now, I could quit right now, but there's only three more verses, so let's finish it. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet. No, Elijah's not finished yet. We have to be that Elijah ministry, brethren. We have to be the ones preparing the way of his coming. Amen. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. See, the Elijah ministry of John the Baptist prepared for his coming, but it wasn't the great and dreadful coming. It was the coming in mercy back then. Love and mercy and salvation. Now we have another coming. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Lots of fathers' hearts need to be turned. Lots of fathers' hearts. What do they need to be turned from? They need to be turned from all the wood and hay and stubble and the flesh. Pleasures of this world. Seeking after, seeking, seeking more and more and more pleasures. My goodness, we travel the roads here in the foothills of the Adirondacks. It seems so many of these trailers are just loaded full of these machines that travel everywhere. Full of them! Where did they get the money for all these big expensive toys? Turned from pleasure, turned from sin, turned from seeking whatever it is, turned. The heart of the fathers turned to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. We're not just talking about preschoolers here. We're talking about the youth. We're talking about the what do they call the these this newest generation, millennials, Z's, whatever. What do they need to be turned from? My goodness, what's gobbled up their souls? Turned to the fathers. Well, then there has to be something in the fathers for them to turn to. Righteousness has to be found in the heart of the fathers. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Oh no, Lord, we don't want that. Well, amen. I'm going to finish. We'll turn the recordings off.